Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, Tom Williams will be talking to Michael Mahler. He is currently starring in Joe the Musical at the Chicago Dramatists, and it's a really good interview you don't want to miss. Also, of course, we have Chicago's theater news for you. So, sit back and relax. And get ready to talk theater.
Hello, and thank you for listening. This is Tom Williams. You are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is a young man who has been a nonstop star since he's emerged on the Chicago stage. It's Michael Mahler. Hello, Michael.
Hi there, Tom.
Well, Michael, I remember seeing you in the WAMOOC show when you were at Northwestern.
Oh, sure.
And you wrote quite a bit of that show, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to write a lot of songs for the show. It was really, really a cool experience.
Well, I don't know if you know it, but we walked out after seeing that. And I've seen a lot of the WAMOOC shows, and I think it was one of the best year.
Oh, gosh.
And I said, you know, this kid's a Broadway Tony Award winning writer waiting to happen.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, we'll see what happens, I guess.
Well, let's hope so. So, tell us about your latest show now. We're at Chicago Dramatists. You just finished performing Joe the Musical, which you've been the star. And I must say, you did terrific work.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's sort of a workshop production. It's a brand new show, and we're kind of working out all the kinks and trying to get it ready to be a commercial production. But I think it's got a lot of potential. It's a neat premise.
Yeah, give us the premise, because a lot of people don't know about the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
give us a little idea of, you know, the style, a little bit of the storyline and kind of the style of the music.
Oh, sure. It's called Joe the Musical, and I play Joe, and I'm kind of a struggling actor in New York and trying to make it, and I keep getting pushed to audition for musicals because everyone's telling me that's the way to go, but I want to be a serious actor and I hate musicals. And then one morning I wake up and I'm in a musical. My whole life is a musical. My father and my mother are singing at me, and everything kind of turns into this madcap musical that I kind of at first want to escape from, but then throughout the show I have to kind of learn to adapt and fit into it.
So it's kind of a dream, because to me the style is part William Finn, part Stephen Sondheim, part almost Forbidden Broadway.
Sure,
in a sense.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun because it gets to kind of skewer a couple of different musical conventions. You know, it gets to make fun of what you expect at a musical, but then also by the end you kind of come to appreciate the good things about musicals too. So you get to have both sides in the show.
Yeah, so it's not total satire,
right?
Or total parody.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, in a fun way, throwing a little
it kind of lovingly pokes fun at some of the things, but yeah, absolutely.
Well, how did you come to get cast in the show?
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to get to work with Tom Mullen, the director, before on Urinetown here in Chicago. And
that's right, you were in Urinetown. That's one that I forgot about.
Yeah, so you know, I was just really excited when I auditioned and got to work with him again, and especially since you know, it's a new piece, and it's by some fellow Northwestern alums, so it was exciting to get to work on their songs.
Well, I'll tell you, it is terrific, and it's running at Chicago Dramatist on, what, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30?
Thursday and Friday at 7:30,
okay.
Saturday at 8, and Sunday
at 3. And you're running through, what, August 12th, right?
Yeah, just 3 weekends.
Okay. Well, I thought the show was terrific, and the idea of this kind of bare bones production that you guys put on that does sing and dance rather well.
Yeah, they're...
And I must say that you impressed me with your dance today.
Oh gosh, that's funny. I don't really consider myself much of a dancer, but
well,
I appreciate
that. You were hanging
that
in there. My old director's eye didn't see any missteps.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, you handled it well.
Well, the fun part with a part like this is I'm actually not supposed to be very good. So if I make a mistake, I can kind of pass it off as on purpose, I guess. But thank you.
Yeah, that's true. That's so it makes you bulletproof in this role.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, And the idea of this production, because it's only running for a couple of weeks, is to kind of showcase the show so it can go on to the next level.
Yeah, you know, it's a chance to kind of work out the bugs and refine it so that it can kind of work, you know.
I think the show has terrific potential. I really do. I think if you guys get a few producers out to see it, that this show could go somewhere.
Well, here's hoping.
And it's smart on your part to be in this, because I know somebody asked me in intermission, well, why that kid is so good? Why is he in the show? And I said, because that's how you get the part on Broadway. I've interviewed enough people. Hadley Frazier, who was in The Pirate Queen. Mm-hmm. I asked him, how did you get the role? And he says, I was in the showcase in the readings, and they remembered me and flew me from London to New York. So that's a good strategy.
Well, we'll see. You know, I was just really excited to get to work on something new. You know, it's just such a great opportunity to get to kind of be the first person to try something out and to kind of get to embody a role for the first time.
You can kind of make it your own.
Exactly.
Put your stamp on it. Yeah, and I think you did. Because right now, at this stage in your career, you're playing these young, bashful boy next door leading man roles.
Sure, I guess so.
And you congratulations, by the way, on your Jeff citation.
Thank
for
you
my
much.
Favorite year.
Thank you.
We
very
thought
much.
that was a terrific show.
Oh gosh. Thank you.
And you know when you win in the citation awards, they can have multiple winners depending on if the vote is close.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out from a couple of people on the Jeff committee, when you're a single winner in that category, unlike the equities,
mm-hmm.
it's because you got such a high percentage of votes that whoever was second was so far behind.
Well, I was pretty lucky. I thought everybody in the category was really outstanding. It was really just an honor to be nominated with those people. I mean, everybody was just so great.
Okay. Now let's go into your background. I did a little research, and I found that you wrote a CD and a song called How We Can Be Silent, which is liturgical music at age 17?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I wrote a lot of liturgical music. I went to a Catholic high school and I actually used to write songs. I was in a rock band in high school, and we wanted to be, you know, like the Beatles, so we had to write our own songs. So I kind of started songwriting that way for the band, and I had a great choir teacher who kind of saw that I had that knack and that kind of talent, and she got me into writing songs that we could use for our masses at school. And
you wrote songs for the masses.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
And you know, I was lucky enough to have a couple of them published, and I got to make a couple of albums, and it was pretty fun.
Well, I also saw a quote from a mutual friend of ours, Dominic Messini, that called you the next Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, he's very nice. Yeah, Dominic was a great teacher at Northwestern, and really kind of helped me. You know, when I was in high school, I was writing for the rock band and for the liturgy, but I had never written a lick for the theater. I mean, I'd acted in plays and musicals, but I'd never written anything for the musical theater stage. And when I got to Northwestern and kind of became involved with Dominic and with the WAMU show, it really opened my eyes to that sort of style of writing. And Dominic was really influential in helping me figure out, you know, how you make a song work on stage and how you tell a story with a song and that kind of thing.
Well, you learn from the master.
Yep, absolutely.
And as he told me about you, he says, you know, you can't teach talent, you can only develop it. And he's done that. And you have a show running now at Chicago Shakespeare.
That's right.
How Can Run With a Shell on Your Back, which I have seen. They've remounted it.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote that with Alan Schmuckler?
That's right.
A classmate, another Northwestern.
Yeah,
he's
we're
a comic
everywhere.
Act. I think he's a very funny
yeah,
comic
he's
act.
He's really great.
Yeah.
And we met at Northwestern. We never wrote anything together before How Can You Run With a Shell on Your Back, but we were kind of mutual admirers of each other's talent. We got to spend a lot of time together in WAMU writers' meetings, kind of passing around ideas and talking. So I was really lucky to get to write a show with him. He's really great, I think.
Well, this is a children's show, but it's a pretty smart show. Again, it's I think your style is a lot like William Finn.
Hmm.
I think more like Finn than Stephen Sondheim, although there's
okay.
a touch of that. And
sure.
There's nothing wrong with being as good as Stephen as William Finn.
No, absolutely not. I love William Finn's work. I mean, I think he's brilliant. So,
have you ever met him?
I got to take a class with him, actually, when I was in New York for about a half a semester at NYU. I was in the graduate musical theater writing program there, and I got to take a songwriting tutorial from William Finn.
Wow.
So yeah, that was pretty intense.
Yeah,
he's a pretty incredible guy, and it was really was a tough teacher, but a good one, you know.
Has he seen your show?
I don't think so. No, I'm trying to get him out to see it. We'll see.
Okay, well,
maybe I'll send him a CD or something.
Oh, you have a CD. That's cool. But to have somebody like Chicago Shakespeare not only mount the show but remount it for the summer,
yeah,
for their children's program, that's got to be cool.
It's really cool. I mean, it's just cool that they have been so behind it from the very beginning and have supported us so incredibly with such great, you know, artists who they brought in to direct and to do the scene design and the costumes and everything. I mean,
yeah, that show, by the way, folks, that show is still running. It just go on Chicago Shakespeare's site. And see it. It is definitely a very smart show.
Well, thank you very much.
And a lot of us knew that it would be pretty good because if it's done with Chicago Shakespeare, you know they just don't put up anything.
Right.
But and then to see how clever it was, it's a real testament to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, give us a little background now. After Northwestern, some of the shows you were in, because I remember seeing you in Sweet Smell of Success at Circle.
Yep. That was. Oh, gosh. How long ago was that?
It had to be in the last year because you were also nominated for that this year.
Yeah. That was a pretty fun show. I mean, again, a show that doesn't get done very much at all.
Well, Circle is getting real good at taking shows that had failed. And then, you know, they make a lot of notes on what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the benefit of all of that. And like if they had done it over, they would have done it this way.
Yeah.
And I thought they made what I thought was a terrible show when I saw it come through. I thought you guys made it a better production.
Oh, thanks.
It worked better.
We had a lot of fun working on that, and Kevin Belli, our director, was really outstanding. I mean, yeah, it's a great place to work because they do risky pieces like that. You know?
Yeah, and Kevin and Bob are terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. They do some really nice stuff. You were in Assassins for Walter Stearns for Porchlight.
Yep. Yeah, that was a great challenge, you know, a great challenging piece to work on, and with Michael Weber directing, and a really great, I thought, a really fun cast to work with, too.
Well, you know, I've told a lot of people, including Michael Weber, that I always hated Assassin. I just don't like the material. I think it's distasteful. But I must say, and I said that in my review, you guys made a show that I really didn't like work, and I enjoyed it. It was the first time I really recommend. Maybe the first time I got it.
Uh-huh.
But it was a combination of Michael Weber, the way he approached the show, and the way you guys staged it, and the cast.
Yeah, and Doug Peck, our music director, a fellow Northwestern alum.
Doug is fabulous.
Yeah, he's pretty great, and he keeps working because he's so great. So,
well, there's your music director when you do your Broadway show.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's hoping he won't be too busy. You know, music directing
somebody
else's
show. I'm sure he'll find a place for that. All right, then you did what else? What other notable show? You work for Tim Gregory too.
Yeah, I got to do a couple of different shows with Tim.
What did you do with Tim?
Provision. I did. I got to be in Cotton Patch Gospel when they did that here, actually, in this space in Chicago Dramatists.
That I didn't see that, but I saw the one that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
But you were in as one of the musicians.
Yeah, I played the guitar.
Okay.
In the bluegrass band. That was just fun to get to play in a bluegrass
show.
Band. Yeah, isn't it? It's a really cool piece, I think.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And what else were you in?
And I was in A Christmas Carol when they did that at Victory Gardens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they do that much different version of it than the Goodman does.
Yeah,
and they're both valid.
It's kind of dark and it gets into the guts of it. I think it's really a cool adaptation. It was actually, it was Tim Gregory and David Bell who adapted it. So
it was another Northwestern, another one of your.
Yep. Yeah. I got to work with David at Northwestern too. He's outstanding.
Okay, you have this background as a actor, singer, musician, composer, lyricist, comedian, playwright, and I'll add even dancer after what I've seen today. Now, if I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said, what are you? What would be all these?
I'm an artist, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. I get asked a lot about the difference kind of between writing and performing and if I prefer one or the other.
Okay.
Oh, sure. And if I like one better than the other or what I see myself doing and they're just both kind of such different thrills. They're both, you know, completely fulfilling in different ways. And I'm so lucky that I live in a city where I can do both and I can work as a writer and as an actor. And so I just hope I can kind of keep doing both.
So you don't mind hiding away, composing music and writing lyrics all day long and then getting in your car and coming down and performing?
No, if that could be my life, that would be pretty swell, I think.
That's not a bad way of going.
Yeah, that would be pretty great.
But I'm not sure. Everyone says your real talent is as a composer. But boy, I'll tell you, your stage presence.
Oh.
I think as a performer, and I'll use that general word for, you know, musical comedy
sure.
talent. I have not seen you in a dramatic role, although I think in this show you showed it, and you showed it in Sweet Smell of Success, and in my favorite year that you can not only sell a song, but sell a character.
Oh, thank you.
And I think there's people who can sing a song, but can't do it in character. And there's people who can do it in character and can't sing. And I think you have a nice balance.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I guess kudos to Northwestern for the good training, the good acting chops, I guess.
Well, and that has certainly helped. Okay. I also have a friend who's a producer in town who's won a Tony, and a lot of people know who she is, that tipped me off that you're involved with David Bell and Buddy Farmer doing Newt Rockne.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually going to be, the musical is going to be mounted at Theater at the Center in April. So we're kind of in
You're good. That's a... Libby hasn't told me that, but
yeah,
but she said she would.
It's brand new. It's new news, so I might be
theater
the first
center.
One getting that out there. But
very
yeah.
well.
But,
talk about it.
They put it on their season, so we're kind of in the final stages of getting it all ready to be production ready. And
who's going
to
direct? Is it
David? Hope
David
directing.
Bell's going to direct.
Yeah,
I think he's one of the best.
He can do no wrong. I think he's.
Are you going to be in it?
I don't think so. I think that's too many hats for one show. I gotta kind of keep
probably
them
smart. Yeah,
I like to. You know, I think I'll need to be on the outside listening and making sure it all sounds good. So
that's got to make you excited, because I know the ultimate plan for that show is to take it to New York.
Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see. I think it's in a really good place right now, and I think, you know, we're going to keep working on it to get it ready for April, and then we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's just a real honor and privilege to get to work not only with Libby, but with David and with Buddy. I think they're really onto something with this show. So,
well, and I know they had a few other people making attempts at doing the music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one day we were driving Libby to a show, and she was telling me, she said, I have this young kid who is so tremendous. He, you know, I think she said David Bell brought him to us. Mm-hmm. He just had the concept. And that's before I knew it. And then she told me who, and I said, well, she didn't connect you, the writer, with you, the performer.
Oh,
and I
sure.
said, well, you know, we've seen him, and oh, that's right. That's
funny.
Where I saw him.
Oh, she's very sweet.
Yeah. But Libby's very sharp, and she knows her business. So
she absolutely does.
That's
she's got a lot of really great suggestions on the show. I mean, she's really good about knowing what works and what doesn't. So we're lucky to have her on board.
Yes. Wow. So, well, at 3 years out of college, you graduated in 2004 from Northwestern,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2004. Mm-hmm.
And you were in quite a class. There's name some of your classmates who've been doing well around town. It's kind of the class that some of the stars fell on.
Oh, gosh. We have a lot of people. I think most of my classmates actually went to New York, but I've been working with a lot of people I was in school with. I've been working with Devin DeSantis a lot,
mm-hmm,
and Jared Zimmerman,
right,
and Alan Schmuckler, and, you know, we're all kind of... kind of trying to make it happen. I wasn't too far away from Brad Weinstock, who
right.
is now actually on the Wicked tour. He was in Spelling Bee, and now he's doing Wicked. So, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff happening for Northwestern people.
Well, it's funny. I kid people about it. I said, you can't open up a program without seeing a Northwestern grad
mm-hmm.
in it.
Uh-huh. My friend Jeremy Cohen is actually doing a show that's going to be at the Marriott coming up with David Bell. So,
well, Jeremy Cohen, he's... it's all part of that group.
Yeah, he actually wrote songs for that WAMU show you saw. He was writing.
That's
he was
right.
My
he
ear.
Was one of yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But how many shows? How many songs did you write for that?
For WAMU?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, at this point I've written, because they've tapped me to write a couple actually after I've graduated. You know,
oh,
a
you've
couple
done
of
more.
Songs.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think I'm over 30 at this point.
Wow.
So
that's not bad.
Yeah, they've been keeping me busy. It's good.
Okay. Where are you going to be? It's a standard question. Where are you going to be 5 years from now? What do you see yourself in 5 years doing?
I don't know. I have a hard time kind of imagining, because things just kind of have a way of working themselves out, I guess. And you know, I don't really have a plan as far as... some people say, like, you know, in 5 years, you know, this and this is going to happen, and I'm going to be in New York, and I'm going to be on Broadway. And I kind of am more of a mind that, you know, I'll follow the opportunities that present themselves. And I've been really lucky here in Chicago, and I feel like this is a city that I can work in and live in. And I think probably in 5 years, I imagine I'll still be here, you know, hopefully writing and acting and doing what I love.
Okay. And, but All right, let's go 10 years from now.
Oh, gosh. I mean, then I'll be on Broadway, and I'll be starring in my own musical in 10 years.
All right, that's a nice little dream. But, you know, there was a guy named George M. Cohen did that for like 25 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There haven't been very many since then who've been able to do it, but we'll see.
But would you like to do that? I mean, are you kidding me? Or, I mean, are you going to write a piece that you can actually be in?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if like I said, you know, there's you kind of have to be able to separate and do different, keep your mind in different places, I think. And I think, you know, when you're writing, I've found that, you know, when I'm writing, I kind of just need to be a writer. And when I'm performing, I need to be a performer. And I think that they sort of inform each other. You know, I think being a writer helps me as an actor because I get to approach a text with that in mind and kind of see what maybe the writer was intending. And same way as a writer, you know, I can approach writing a scene or a song from an acting viewpoint and get into the mind of a character maybe easier just because I'm kind of used to doing that.
That does make
kind
sense.
Of
yeah. And some writers say they suffer from that because they can't think like actors.
I actually read a really interesting have you read the Stephen Sondheim book How Sondheim Found His Sound? He talks about
parts of that.
Talks about how when he writes a song, he goes into his attic and he becomes an actor for a moment because he just has to get into the mind of the character and in the situation. And so he thinks of himself almost as an actor as much as a writer when he's writing a
That's
scene
right.
or a song
he did
in that
say
way.
That and in this who are your influences? You just mentioned Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, gosh. Well, of course.
Lyric-wise and musical, because you write both.
Yeah. You've mentioned William Finn. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I'm really blown away by some of the new stuff coming out by people like Adam Gettle and Jason Robert Brown.
Right.
And
Parade is, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's
awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I also, growing up, I was listening to all kinds of pop music, you know. I think I know about as much about songwriting from the Beatles as from theater writers, you know what I mean?
Don't apologize for that. I mean, a lot of people consider, you know, McCartney and the Beatles as some of the great songwriters of the 20th century.
Absolutely.
And I'm among those, and I'm not a big rock music fan, but they were just so brilliant.
Absolutely. I don't think it gets much better.
How about in terms of the old timers, of, you know, the Harlem?
Oh, the Rodgers and Hammerstein.
The Hammersteins and so forth.
Oh, sure. I love the... Arlen stuff, you know, Harold Arlen's songs are always so interesting, and you know, Cole Porter is so clever, and the Gershwins, you know, I love kind of going back into the American songbook and finding gems.
Well, that's part of my generation's challenge to your generation, are to write modern 21st century songs in the spirit of a Cole Porter or a Gershwin, if you can approach that.
Oh, sure.
And the beautiful rhymes and where the music just sits on the rhymes and they're just so smart and clever.
I think it's unfortunate that a lot, I mean, you know, this is a horrible generalization, but when you talk about the pop music of today, it seems like a lot of the lyrics that you hear are just kind of not nearly as important or kind of...
Well, you can't understand
kind of
them. They're garbled, half of them.
Right, right. And it's just a different... I guess it's just a different sensibility where it's all about kind of the rhythm and the music and the beat. And whereas, like, the songwriters you're talking about back in the day, it was all about a well-structured song. And I think you're right. I think... We're missing out on not kind of focusing on that as much. But.
Well, one of the advices that Jerry Herman gave to me when I heard him speak at the Theater Critics Convention a number of years back, he calls it the Jerry Herman test. You know, is there a hummable tune when you leave the theater?
Yeah.
You know, and are they, if they leave your show singing a tune, then you know you got something.
Yeah, I got to meet Jerry Herman at Northwestern. Actually, he's a pretty incredible guy, and I gave him a. I was actually turning pages for a Jerry Herman concert and got to meet him, and he was so generous. I gave him a CD of mine with some songs I'd written, and he listened to it, and he told me he really liked it. So
he did listen to it, huh?
I guess I passed the Jerry Herman test. So it was really incredible. You know, you think you'd give a CD to someone like Jerry Herman, and they're going to, you know, put it in their trunk and forget about it or something.
Yeah.
But he went home and listened to it and came back the next day and was talking to me about it. So it was pretty
and enough
cool.
That, you know, he listened to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
he was able to talk
that
about
is
it.
Really cool.
It was really cool, yeah.
And, of course, you listen if he says, well, you know, you need to do this or that. I'm sure you
absolutely.
Made some notes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't take what Jerry Herman says, you know, for granted.
Well, how do you, as a spokesman for your generation, I'm going to put you on the spot, how do you see the state of musical theater, and how do you guys among your group when you talk about, hey, this is what we want to do? This is what we're going to offer the 21st century.
Well, I think, I think we're in an interesting place with musicals. If you talk about, are you talking about musicals or Broadway or the art form in general?
In general.
I think a lot of really exciting stuff is happening. I think we're seeing a lot of really cool new writers emerging, and it's in a tricky place because, so much of musical theater is a commercial art form, the state of Broadway right now, in order to succeed, it has to be something people really recognize or like a movie or like a Disney thing.
Yeah,
or
big spectacle.
Or jukebox,
yeah.
And so I don't know if that's, that is what it is. That's just the business of it. But I think despite that, I guess you still see some really fascinating things coming up, whether they're on Broadway or not. I think it's exciting to see the kind of pieces that are coming out. And I hope to be able to be a part of that and to kind of keep pushing the art form forward, because I think it still has a lot to say, and I think it can still connect to, people from my generation as much as it did, throughout the years.
Okay. Name me your, three all-time favorite musicals.
Oh, and that's not fair. That's really not fair.
All right. Or three that impress you.
Three that, my favorite shows. That's so hard.
Or
I
those
really love,
that influence, that it, make you want to go write.
I really love, I know it's really dated, and I every time I see Man of La Mancha, for some reason, I don't know
choice.
What it is, but it always gets to me. Something about, and I know the show has problems and this and that, but it's, for some reason, it's that magical thing where, despite all of that, it just works.
Did you see Court's production of it?
Yeah. Oh,
wasn't that awesome?
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was the best I've ever seen of that.
It
and
was
I've
really
seen
amazing.
Full-blown productions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A couple more now.
Oh, gosh. So there's one I really love. I got to co-music direct falsettos at Northwestern. That was
production. That was dynamite. Oh yeah,
oh,
I
thanks.
Saw that. Yeah,
that's a show that has a dear place in my heart. After that, gosh, I don't know. I really am blown away by the last 5 years, Jason Robert Brown. I think that's kind of an interest. I mean, I love the way that it works in time, and I love the kind of that he can kind of bring a pop sensibility, but still write songs that sort of move a story along and tell you about character. And
That sure did that, yeah.
Gosh, there are just so many, it's hard to stop.
Are the old-time classic shows.
The old-time classic shows. Well, you can't really go wrong with Oklahoma, can you?
That's for sure. That's one of my all-time favorites.
I really love Guys and Dolls. Everybody loves Guys and Dolls, but it was actually a show I got to do in high school. And it's just like, you can't really screw it up. It's just like almost a perfect show. I think.
You're right. It's almost bulletproof. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And How to Succeed, I think, is kind of the same.
Now,
it's
see you playing the lead in that.
I did in high school.
Did you really?
So we'll see.
I could see you, if Marriott or somebody
does
it.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of people, thought you would have been perfect for the producers.
Oh, gosh.
To play the Matthew Broderick role in the producers.
Well,
you didn't have the look.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, we'll see. Well, Guy Adkins is pretty great.
Yeah, Guy Adkins.
I think he's going to be all right.
That's what a couple of people said when they saw that casting, because a lot of people had mentioned your name in that role.
Oh,
which,
geez.
Yeah. And I'm serious. Some people really in the know. And
well, if you know anybody, maybe, if you could pass that along.
Well,
no, just kidding.
That'll be coming up.
Yeah.
But did you get a chance to see Lester's classic show that they just did at...
I missed it because I was in rehearsals here.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, that's a great show.
Oh,
keep your ear to the rail on that show when it's around. Course, I don't.
Most Happy Fellow,
yeah,
right?
That's what. Yeah, it's the production was unbelievable.
Wow,
they should have videotaped it for great performance.
Oh yeah, it was one night
and
only,
Yeah, I was talking to Terry James about it. And I said, "When's Marriott going to do that?" He goes, "If with 2,000 seats, I wouldn't break even. It's so expensive." I said, "Well, you got to scale it down." But yeah, eventually they're going to do that show. So the last thing I want to mention to you is I heard a rumor. You can verify if it's true or not that you're moving into Forbidden Broadway.
That's true. That's right.
When do you open in that?
I open on Wednesday.
You're kidding.
No.
And you're going to still keep doing that?
No, I'm doing this weekend, and then Jason Bale is taking over.
Oh, Jason Bale. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
He's so great. You're moving into it Wednesday, huh?
Yeah, so I've been in rehearsals for both. My brain is going to explode from trying to keep all
that
the
lyrics in. That is really a challenging role because you got to do all that comic stuff.
Yeah.
You talk about skits.
Yeah.
How many numbers do you have in that show?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. We all, it's too many.
Over 20, I know that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's in working on all these different impressions and all that kind of thing.
But, well, that's great. I'm glad you're going into it now because August is slow, and I definitely have to get over there and see. I love the show.
Yeah.
And I did see the opening night, but now with the new cast. Is anyone else coming in?
Yeah, it's going to be all new people starting next week. It's Holly Stouter.
Okay, I know Holly, sure.
McKinley Carter.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're going to have fun.
And who's the other guy?
They're bringing in a guy from New York, Kevin, who's done it before to kind of help us get the sensibility and take, you know, figure out how the show works. But
well, we'll give you guys a week to kind of get it down.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, give us a little bit of time. Cause
I know it's nothing harder than coming into a show that's been going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's harder than being in at the beginning, right?
Yeah. And you know, they have... We've been really lucky though, because the people who are in it now have been helping us out, figuring out all the choreography and everything. So they've been really great about helping us out. So
well, that's a show that people are going to appreciate, but I don't know if they really appreciate how much talent and how much effort you put into that. You're going to be at one tired guy by the end of the weekend.
Yeah,
we'll
be sweating.
You're doing what, 7-8 shows a week?
Mm-hmm, 8 shows a week.
8 shows a week.
Yep.
And that's. You know, you'll be earning your money for that.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, and that's the trick, is we got to make it look like it's easy. You know, we got to make it look like we're not working hard when really we're sweating bullets.
But I think as a young kid, just learning your craft, shows like this are really going to expand you.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only the singing, but selling the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a very smart show.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a challenge, but I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we've been working hard so far, so... Wish me luck, I
well,
guess.
I'll say break a leg.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm sure you'll do, because I've seen a lot of young talent come in, and a lot of people think that you're on that list of the can't misses.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, from seeing you in college and then going right into a professional career like this, you're right on pace to eventually we'll see you up there grabbing one of those little statues on a Sunday night.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see.
If not,
that.
At least you're having fun doing it. And
absolutely.
It's always a pleasure to talk to somebody who loves what they're doing and has that enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ever lose it.
All right.
Because we need young talent like that. And the show is Joe the Musical. Mm-hmm. It's running till, August 12th at Chicago Dramatist. And I want to thank you so much. And, folks, thank you for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
Chicago, and welcome to another enticing episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of July 30th, 2007. Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady will premiere in Chicago for a limited 2-week engagement at the Cadillac Palace Theater. This premiere is, of course, the acclaimed new production by Cameron McIntosh and the National Theatre of Great Britain. My Fair Lady will be gracing the Chicago stage from January 22nd through February 3rd of next year. In the lead role of Professor Henry Iggins will be Christopher Cazenove. Some of you may remember him as Ben Carrington from TV's Dynasty. He is, of course, a very widely respected and renowned actor in London. The role of Eliza Doolittle will be played by Lisa O'Hare. She most recently starred in the title role of Mary Poppins in London, and I'm sure she's going to do a wonderful job here as well. My Fair Lady is, of course, an adaptation of Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion and an offshoot version of Gabriel Pascal's motion picture. So again, the Cameron McIntosh and National Theatre of Great Britain's version of Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady will be playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater from January 22nd through February 3rd. Individual ticket prices and ticket sale dates have yet to be announced. That's why you have to stay tuned right here to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Well, after receiving rave reviews from Chicago audiences, Forbidden Broadway Special Victims Unit has extended its Chicago run for a third time at the Royal George Cabaret Theater. This means that production will now be playing through Sunday, November 4th. Forbidden Broadway Special Victims Unit won a 2005 Drama Desk Award for Best Musical Review. The show spoofs the egregious crimes committed against the American theater and victimized theater-going public. The spoof spoofs Broadway hits such as Spamalot, Doubt, The Lion King, Jersey Boys, Wicked, and many others. Joining the cast of Forbidden Broadway will be Jeff Citation winner Michael Mahler, After Dark Award winners McKinley Carter and Holly Stodder, and a Forbidden Broadway New York veteran, Kevin B. McGlynn. Forbidden Broadway Special Victims Unit is currently, right now, playing at the Royal George Cabaret Theater, which is located at 1641 North Halsted Street. Due to the extension, the show will be running through November 4th, so get your tickets as soon as you can, because they are becoming hard to get. You can get the tickets at the Royal George Theater box office or by calling 312-988-9000. Again, that's 312-988-9000. City Lit Theater's artistic director Terry McCabe announced that City Lit Theater will be presenting its first festival of literary adaptions. The festival is called The Art of Adaptation and will be running from August 17th through the 19th. The festival will feature 7 world premieres of stage adaptations, which will include 6 pieces of fiction and 1 ancient mythic poem. The lucky 7 were chosen from 43 submissions to the festival, and here they are listed alphabetically. The Chaser by John Collier was adapted by Ed Rutherford. The Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe has been adapted by Stephen F. Murray. Frigg's Grief will be by Russell Burns. Native Speaker by Chang Ray Lee has been adapted by Nambi E. Kelly. Tybele and Her Demon by Isaac Bashevis Singer has been adapted by Jordan Mann. The Wall Reader by Fiona Barr was adapted by Thomas Murray. And Why Dogs Don't Talk by Dean Monty was adapted by David Rice. 4 of the pieces will be performing on Friday evening, August 17th, and the other 3 will be performing the next Saturday evening on the 18th. However, if you wish to see all of them together, you can see them perform a second time on Sunday the 19th, which of course will be ending the festival marathon. For more information on the specific times of the performances of the City Lit Theater The Art of Adaptation Festival, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Troilus and Cressida, Act 3, Scene 3. Honor travels in a strait so narrow. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Dustin Moat. We'll be here next week with more Chicago theater news that you are more than welcome to use. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Michael Mahler for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. See, without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, just for you, we are here every Monday. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater is happening. Don't miss it.